I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Jeff Luhnow, former Astros GM, sat down earlier this week with Vanessa Richardson, KPRC Channel 2, and did a pretty extensive sit down explaining his side of things in the sign stealing, explaining his the issues that he had with his punishment, and was also pretty open about what maybe some of his future plans might be. Here is Jeff Luhnow on what he's looking at doing in his next chapter.
I've taken a hard look at the NFL, at the NBA, a little bit at NHL. I didn't grow up around hockey, so that one's a little tougher. Esports, soccer, both in our continent and in Europe. And what I realized is that the opportunity to apply business practices and analytics and technology, and to really modernize a sports organization the way I helped to modernize the Cardinals and the Astros, that exists in every sport. And so, you know, why my skills aren't stuck in baseball, I could easily transfer them to another sport. So I'm considering all my options at this point. There's some projects I'm currently working on, some projects I have been working on, and you know, I'm hopeful that in the next couple of months, I mean, at some point, I'll have to get a job. So we'll figure something out.
So that's Jeff Luhnow. And Seth, I think you pointed this out the other day when we were, you know, started to fantasize a little bit about what it might look like with Jeff Luhnow as the GM for, say, I don't know, an NFL team in town that needs a GM. That I think you brought this up that, man, his role might be as a consultant for these leagues and these teams on how to sort of modernize and incorporate analytics into their way of doing things, where teams just bring, that's what he came from, the consulting world before he went to the Cardinals. And maybe he takes those two chapters that he's had in his life, the consultant chapter and the actual GM front office chapter, and meld the two into something where he has a very specific consultancy for sports front offices.
Yeah. And I also, as I was listening to that, I thought, if I put myself in Jeff Luhnow's shoes, there would probably be something nice about going into esports or going and doing something in Europe where your history with the cheating scandal would be more of a, and I don't know if an asterisk is the right word, it would be a little side note to the rest of your story. And I don't think it would be as much of a big deal. Esports especially, I doubt it would create a whole lot of controversy or anything. And then maybe he might personally like doing something like that better. But as far as when it goes with the Texans, I don't worry about a blowback from him being involved with the Astros. The only potential negative was that if there did come to be some kind of a cheating scandal that was independent of anything Jeff Luhnow does, your whole organization is just going to get, they're going to come down that much harder on you. Cause the first thing people will say is, well, look who you hired. Like, this is how you handle these kinds of things.
Yeah. I think, you know, look, it's an interesting time because Luhnow is out there and available. Daryl Morey is out there and available. And I think the two are looked at very similarly from an analytics standpoint. I think they're looked at very differently from a personality standpoint, but I think they both fall into the category of they were both successful enough, innovative enough in their previous positions as general managers to where I think they'd be a sellable solution to a team in a sport that isn't necessarily their perceived area of expertise. If you could pick one between Luhnow and Morey, I've got a few categories here if we want to do a tail of the tape on this thing, Seth.
Yeah, let's break that down. Let's break it down more scientifically, like these two guys might.
That's right.
I don't think Maury and Luno wouldn't be like, "Hey, tell me what you feel in your gut, huh?" Mm-hmm. And I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so to me, the different categories of making this decision, you're down to these two guys, Jeff Luno and Daryl Morey, to be the general manager for your NFL team, a sport that has not been under the umbrella of either of these guys to this point. The first one is the draft. Who do you feel better about in identifying young talent in the draft?
Well, there's a couple things. For one, I feel like if Maury were to step in, he'd be right at home stepping into an organization with no first round draft picks, but or even valuable first round draft picks if you do have one. But I think that this is where Luno's ability to kind of wade through all of the old school notions about scouting and probably some of the fallacies that hold teams back. I think he would end up doing a really good job with that in football. Except I think in football, you're still going to have to rely on the human scouts way more than Luno thought you had to in baseball. That's my one big reservation. But I think that he would know that too and figure it out. So I guess I'll go with Luno for the draft. I think for projecting players, that's what his bread and butter was in St. Louis. That's what he brought to the Astros. Luno for the draft.
I agree. It doesn't mean Daryl's not good at it. I just don't know that Daryl's been forced to do a lot of it over the last few years, you know. All right. Determining player value, salary cap.
Yeah, that
cap,
comes down to the whole Moneyball side of things, too.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Moneyball is playing on Netflix. I know this because the Netflix home screen was on during dinner last night.
Yeah.
And, of course, my wife noticed the Brad Pitt movie
naturally.
When it flashed up.
Right.
She said, "Oh, what? By the way, Seth, I've taken a keen interest in your baseball talk lately. Tell me more about this Moneyball." And I looked over and I'm like, "Oh, this is a Brad Pitt thing. All right. So, yeah, I think the Moneyball side of things, though, player value, I would go with Luno.
I would, too. You know, again, doesn't mean I think Daryl would be bad at it, but I just feel like the Luno, we've seen evidence of Luno doing these things in the draft and with salaries and determining values of guys and things like that, that to me mirror more closely what you would have to do as a general manager of an NFL team. All right, now we get into some of the other stuff that's more touchy-feely. Who would be the better hire from a PR standpoint?
Oh, it's an excellent question, Sean Pendergast. From a PR standpoint, I don't think it's even a question, really, right? It's Maury. I mean, there's Daryl Morey, whose biggest controversy was a half-hearted political tweet about a very clear and real problem that they have in China and Hong Kong. Maury, 100%. Did Maury ever do anything else scandalous?
No, I think, you know, I guess maybe I'm expanding the definition of PR because, I mean, Luno's got the grime, and we'll get into that in a second, but the grime of the cheating scandal. But I think there would be fans that would go, well, I'd rather have the guy who won a championship, you know, whose team got two World Series as opposed to the guy who, you know, who peaked out at the Western Conference Finals twice.
But what about, when you say public relations also, it could be how does your organization handle public relations, which we know with the Astros, man, they could not have handled multiple things worse, including calling a reporter a liar about whether or not an incident in the clubhouse happened. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's, you know, maybe this is just semantics and I labeled these things wrong, but maybe I'm looking at a part of PR, I'm looking at, okay, whose just body of work do you look at and you're more impressed by? I think just the championships make Luno's body of work a little more impressive, although Maury's ability to retinker the roster is admirable. Maybe the grime factor is what you're kind of talking about with the PR, and Maury wins that in a landslide over Luno.
Yeah.
Like, Luno just has a certain grime factor to him. Even in the aftermath of trying to cleanse himself of that, he might have done more damage, you know what I mean?
Was Maury ever accused of anything? I mean, even his tampering charge was bogus. I can't even remember what his tampering fine was for. It was for making a compliment about a player that anybody in America could have. Oh, no, it wasn't even Maury. It was that the team website had said somebody was a potential trade target or was a good player or what have you.
If anything, the only things Maury's gotten pinched for is he finds these little glitches in the CBA and he exposes them, and then they've got to, you know, they've got to undo certain things. Like the Nene contract they gave was supposedly, given mostly so they could just trade it eventually. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If anything,
yeah,
that like makes me want to hire him more. He finds glitches in the matrix, you know?
He traded for a player who has now exploited the gather step, Sean, and yeah. Nobody likes that.
All right, so grime factor is Morey is much less grimy. The performance level. I feel like Luno's checked a few boxes that all have to do with just literally the nuts and bolts of the job. How about this one, Seth? This is important for us. Who would be the more fun one to cover? As the
Daryl Morey, 400%. Yeah, that's my analytical take on it. He would be at least four times as fun to cover as Jeff Luno. And not that that's a reason that you hire or retain a guy, but it sure does make it kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's like in a tiebreaker, you always go with the person that makes life feel like it's worth living.
Yeah. The texts are rolling in, and this one, Morey. This one, all I know, text message, all I know is Jeff Luno was a cheater, specifically against the Astros organization when he was with the Cardinals organization. Tampering and hacking. Okay, you're mixing that. He was the one who got hacked as the Astros general manager by his old organization, the Cardinals. So let's get that straight. And then
the other thing, too, though, on a serious note, one thing that Morey has done that Jeff Luno never really got a chance to prove he could do was to manage a team while it is already successful and all the challenges that come with that, where you have to pay your good players, where your draft picks are lower in the first round, all of those things that are so hard to figure out and manage. We still don't know if Jeff Luno would have been good at that, where we know Morey is good at that, which is that's a real consideration. Anybody, I don't want to say anybody, but the degree of difficulty in coming in and tearing a place down and then using really high draft picks to build it back up is not nearly as hard as keeping the ship afloat and steady after that. Morey has done that for a long time now.
He has. All right, Darren Revell is going to jump in with us at the bottom of the hour. Would Texan fans approve a J.J. Watt trade? I think the answer to a poll asking that question might surprise some of you. We'll get to that next. Trade deadline in the NFL, probably the biggest topic with the Texans yesterday. Big enough topic to where Romeo Crennel addressed the team about it, trying to keep them focused on the Green Bay Packers for this weekend. For those who don't know, the trade deadline is Tuesday, November 3rd. There's something else going on that day. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Yeah, so go ahead and be sure you vote early so you can stick around for the trade deadline.
That's right. It's a big day.
I got that. Now I probably just, without even realizing it, that's probably some political stance I just took. So please save me your tweets and texts.
Look forward to the 50 texts that are going to come in here in just a minute. J.J. Watt's name is going to continue to come up in trade rumors, especially if the Texans lose on Sunday to the Packers and sit at 1-6. And it would make sense. And when we brought this up with John McClain yesterday, John's opinion on it is that it would be a huge PR gaffe to move one of the most popular players in the history of the franchise. There's a poll that's up on Battle Red blog that may refute that notion. But first, let's hear from J.J. Watt on his thoughts on being part of trade rumors.
My goal since I got here was to bring a championship to the city of Houston. That remains my goal until the day I'm not a Houston Texan anymore. That will always be my goal. So that's what I'm working towards. That's what I'm working towards today. And that's what I'll work towards tomorrow.
All right. So J.J., I think, given probably the right answer, if he doesn't want to cause a big stir with stoking the embers of these trade rumors involving him.
you mean he shouldn't have gotten in there and been like, hey, I'm up for anything. I'm up for a good time, baby.
YOLO. Yeah. YOLO J.J. So that's J.J. addressing the trade rumors. Now, McClain's contention was, boy, why would you do that? He's one of the most popular players in the history of the franchise. I think even you and I said yesterday, Seth, that my sense was that I think fans who are plugged into the value of draft picks, who are maybe just more engaged NFL fans in the nuts and bolts of putting a team together and can remove some of the emotion, my sense in interacting with some of them, whether in person or on social media, is that they're open to trading J.J. Watt if it makes sense for the team. The more casual fan that buys the jerseys, goes to the games, but maybe isn't in a fantasy league and doesn't obsess over football, but they love J.J. Watt, they're going to be the ones that are maybe a little more taken aback if they were to move him, or it might damage their relationship with the team. Battle Red Blog did a poll where they got several hundred votes, about 663 votes total as of click here. And should the Texans trade J.J. Watt? Yes, 62%. No, 38%. Yeah. So a pretty overwhelming majority.
And that's with 733 votes, you know, so that's not, and usually these SB Nation websites are pretty fan-centric. They're not getting a bunch of trolls on there voting. I think that's probably about accurate. Now, the big question is always, all right, but at what price? And that's the fascinating part to me is what trade or trades would actually get people feeling okay with Jack Easterby versus, oh my gosh, what the hell are you doing? You know, if JJ were traded for a seventh rounder to a bad team or something, that would feel very much like a really bad move on so many levels. Yeah. Whereas if Jack Easterby, and this is key, I think with any JJ Watt trade, it would have to be something that was done with JJ Watt's blessing, that it was sending him off to an actual Super Bowl contender in a place that he actually wanted to go. Because if not, then it's a PR disaster.
Do you think JJ flexes any muscle to try to get a contract extension as part of a trade to a team? He's got 1 year left after this one at $17.5 million that is completely non-guaranteed.
I don't think so. You know, and I wouldn't speak for JJ, but if I were to try to put myself in his shoes, is somebody like, I had a bunch of injuries, you know, and when you're fighting through multiple injuries in the last few years and after you're in your 10th year in the NFL, there was a part of me that did not want to sign any kind of extension or any extra obligation more than I needed. I wanted to be able to take it year by year and to make that decision. Because one thing that happens is you sign a 3-year deal and you decide to retire after year one, especially with a new team, you're probably going to have to pay some money back. And that sucks. That's just a pain in the ass. I don't want to pay any money back. So I don't know, unless he got a new deal that was, you know, a guaranteed salary where if he walked away, he wouldn't have to pay the money back or pay the signing bonus back. Maybe, but I doubt it. I think he probably is at a point in his career where he just wants to be able to call his own shots.
Oh God, can you imagine the check you'd have to scratch out for the prorated signing bonus that you got? You know what I mean?
Like, well, I know. And you don't get the tax break on it until the next year too. So it's like cash out. Like you've already paid the income tax on the money when you got it.
Yeah.
But then you gotta pay it back.
Ugh.
Which isn't, again, like it's all bookkeeping and whatnot, but it's just a pain in the ass. But then there's also the other part of having that control at that point in your career is, you know, I want to be able to retire when I want to retire, but also B, like, what if I get to this place and it just sucks? You know, what if I hate the coach? What if all those things? Then maybe I'd like to be able to move on if I want to. So I don't know. That might just be me. I think JJ, like, every time he's spoken about anything like this, he has a certain level of humility about him now that he didn't necessarily have when he was younger, where he gets and understands what the concerns are about him at his age, you know, and I don't think that he's going to demand a 4-year deal from anybody that trades for him.
I don't either. I just thought I'd throw it out there as a possibility, but he was not taking any of the bait yesterday when it came to saying something that would turn into a headline regarding him being moved, including, hey, did you imagine yourself playing for Green Bay when you were growing up?
I imagine myself playing for Pewaukee High School. That's as far as I got in my dreams at the time. No, I can't say I got to that level of my dreams at that moment. But, I mean, growing up in Wisconsin, you know, that's just the way it was. Everything you had sports-wise was either green, gold, or red and white. And that's what it was. So it's an incredible fan base that they have, incredible people, obviously, fortunate to grow up there. And I absolutely respect and appreciate the loyalty that their fan base has to that team.
Headline, Easterby trades Watt to Pewaukee High School.
That's to be the Pewaukee High School head coach.
<That's it. laughs>
Meanwhile, who's probably still JJ's head coach. That would be the move that would get Jack Easterby crucified. I guess I should call it Jack Good Friday Fied. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, that would be his name. Not crucified. It would be Jack. That would change his name to Jack Good Friday B.
Right.
If he were crucified for that trade.
Right.
Yeah.
You've thought this one deep. So JJ not taking any of that bait. Seth, we know what happens if he says, yeah, I grew up pretending I was Reggie White and always pictured myself in the green and gold. That turns into a headline immediately, especially if the follow-up is about trade rumors 2 questions later. Because then he'll probably say something where you can marry the two together and turn it into some nice clickbait.
That is true, though, by the way. I think some people lose sight of that, that when you're a kid, you really, like, I can remember being a kid, and I didn't honestly, I don't know if, like, any of the pro football players that I looked up to loomed larger in my mind than, like, Matt Schamphone, the high school quarterback. There were some of the high school quarterbacks, when you're a junior high kid, you go to those high school games,
oh, yeah,
and they just seem like monsters, right? They seem like full-grown men to you. And those are the kids you look up to. So, like, whoever was the stud athlete at Pewaukee High School when JJ was in seventh grade, probably in JJ's mind was kind of like on the same par as Brett Favre. It's like, you know the difference consciously, but there's one guy that's right there and you see him get all the attention and all of that. It's pretty cool.
Howard's in Memorial wants in on the show. Howard, welcome
to
Pain and Pain.
Gentlemen,
yeah.
I'm going to say something which is probably politically incorrect, but. What the Texans need, forget the coach. They need a general manager. They need somebody to take over this team, and certainly not Easterby and the preacher. They need a football executive who can start from, because the last general manager was, and although I supported him, was a disaster. He left them with no draft choices and just in a mess. And they need someone who really knows football, drafting, trading, whatever, and handling the salary cap. And so who will take over this team, and then he will pick the head coach and run this team.
Well, Howard, that's what, and Cal McNair has said that's what they're going to do is hire a general manager first. I'm curious, why would you think it would be politically unpopular?
Because I have heard so much emphasis on your station about a coach, and I think the coach is to me is almost secondary.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, and I think part of the reason for that is for the most part. Like, a lot of times the best general manager candidate is somebody you've never really heard about. And it's not, like, people aren't as intrigued by that. You're 100% correct. The general manager might end up ultimately being more important, including, like, let's say a guy like Howie Roseman, who survived several coaches up in Philadelphia. That ends up having a bigger imprint on the organization. I guess it's not as juicy of a conversation topic.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. We're in the middle of the season right now. You know what I mean? So 0-4 is what we're feeling super acutely. I think in some sense we're feeling some of the failures of Bill O'Brien as a general manager, but not nearly as acutely as we do every Sunday watching Bill O'Brien, you know, running David Johnson into a wall on first down and doing some of the things that he was doing to get them to 0-4. Seth, real quick, because we got to get to Darren Revelle. In the next segment, if you had to pick, they're going to get a general manager, they're going to get a head coach. For one of those jobs, you can pick somebody who's had experience in that role before. For the other one, you've got to pick somebody who's doing that job for the first time. Do you have a preference, just in general, as to whether or not you'd rather have the GM or the head coach having done their job before?
Oh, that's a really good question. If I had to choose, because I really don't care one way or the other, as long as, like, the research is done and you're thinking about the fact that it is a different job than what's come before, I think I'd rather have the GM who's done the job before. You know what I need, Sean? I need the GM to have had actual authority to make real decisions before. Because I think one thing that happens is that a general manager oftentimes becomes general manager without ever actually even managed anything in his life. You know, without ever having to been responsible for hiring and firing or setting a vision for an organization or anything like that. And it's almost like most assistant managers at McDonald's have more experience actually managing things and making decisions than like a first-time NFL general manager.
Right.
It's crazy. It's nuts. So I guess that, or I would like the general manager to have been an actual sports executive of some sort, not just the guy who's getting elevated from being a scout.
That's a good way to put it. I just think to me, the bigger cleanup job that needs experience is the roster and the salary cap. It's not the product that gets trotted out onto the field each and every Sunday. Neither is great right now, but I think I'm with you. I agree. General manager would be, if I had to pick an experienced person for a role, it would be general manager. All right, Darren Revelle joins us in the next segment. Action Network is where he applies his trade. The Action Network app, download it. It's free, and we talk a little sports business, a little wagering with Darren Revelle next. It is the back end of the 9 o'clock hour on a Thursday. That means we go to the hotline. We recommend that you download the free Action Network app, especially with all the football going on now. We get Big Ten football back into our lives this coming weekend. That'll be fun. Joining us to talk about all that is our good friend Darren Revelle of the Action Network. Darren, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good to have you on the show, as always.
Why are you laughing?
Because I love. Thank you. That's just a nice. That feels like a real conversation. It wasn't. You didn't. It wasn't like I'm doing well, and let me tell you what I'm really excited about. It felt. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what that is. You think that it's me like being like puffery? It's not puffery. It's that. You know, it's one of the 2 days of the week my kids are at school. So it's just a real overjoyed, I would say overjoyed. and it seems like it's fake, but it's completely real. Like doing well, like I'm, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, doing well, and there's nobody here to hear me say that, and it's really
That's
nice.
Right.
Yeah,
it feels really good. Hey, Darren, you know the determination that I made this week is that we need a coach fired each week in the NFL if we want to keep making money, because the stat you brought up after Bill O'Brien got fired of the the improvement both straight up and against the spread of these teams when they fire their coaches, it's now 2-0. Straight up and against the spread because of what the Falcons did. So my determination is we need a coach fired every week so we can keep making money.
All right. So who's next? Gaze? I mean, you know, like what do we got?
I don't know. Who is the?
I don't know.
Who?
Yes. Listen. I'm a humongous unders guy, and a lot of people make fun of me. You know, only you would root for the under. But the truth is, there's great value. And last week I was 6 for 7, and I loved it. And now I'm kind of wondering if we're, you know, there were so many total 50s, I think, you know, and I was sitting back and just making money last week. And I just now that's my bet. I don't know what I'm going to do now because it seems to be. And betting Big Ten football is like, I don't even know. I mean, it's just one big guess. You know, it's one big guess. You have programs like Wisconsin, who I think have now kind of gotten into the A level from B plus. So essentially, even without their quarterback, you know, you think that they could, you know, put up points and be a team that is consistent. I mean, they're not Ohio State, but you know, it's so wacko just betting, you know, against these. Teams that are coming out and you don't really know anything about them, and with the guys that have opted out and everything.
Yeah.
And Northwestern has a double-digit favorite against anyone, brings back the nightmares of when we were like the biggest favorite ever against Rutgers, and I brought my family to the game since it was like 20 minutes away. And, you know, this is the first time in my, since Rutgers had joined the Big Ten, first time in my 25 years of rooting for Northwestern that I drove to a game. And, Penn State. I drove to Penn State. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, it's like there's nothing's really drivable. Anyway, it was so pleasant to get to the game. And, you know, I had a strategy because I knew we weren't going to win by 20, of course. So I had, like, I bought tickets in the suites. I bought tickets downstairs. I got us field access. I got it so that we could keep moving around and eating while Dad bites his nails off. And of course, we were losing. And you know, it was such a painful experience that anytime I see us as a double digit favorite over anyone, I get scared. So Maryland, I'm excited to watch some games, yeah. But still, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Darren, you used the word wacko a couple times there, and I think that's appropriate in so many respects right now. including something that Sean and I just casually stumbled upon as we were looking at the standings this morning. There are 10 teams in the NFL right now that have one or fewer wins going into week 7, which feels like it's got to be some kind of a record. And strangely also makes me feel okay, maybe more okay than I should about the Texans, because usually if you're 1-5 at this point in the season, you're truly one of the dregs in the league. All I know now is that the Texans have had a really tough schedule, and yet all I also know is that they're in the bottom third of the league.
Right, right. It's like, you know, let's go, all of a sudden it's like, you know, Giants and Eagles vying for first within striking distance of the NFC East. The crap that they've been, it is unreal. It is, you're right, it's got to be a record. So I'm going to have to look that up. And if it is a record, I will I'll send it to you, and you'll have the right to tweet it out.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to do one of those things where you notice something in the box score and act like you just, you know, wrote an original Shakespeare or something. No, oh, you just go ahead and,
you know,
go ahead,
you know,
and do whatever.
You know, I do that though. I like that brings out the trolls. You know, this week when I announced that I essentially invented the mute button for the second in-person debate. You know, Twitter was all up in arms because I retweeted myself, which, you know, you're not allowed to do. But yeah,
that's funny. Darren Revelle joining us from the Action Network. Hey, Darren, I'm curious. There's a lot of places people can go play sports bets now. It used to be just Nevada to do it in person, and that was it. But the proximity of Nevada to L.A. has always been something interesting, because you get a lot of the L.A. people making that little junket to go place their sports wagers. And L.A. is in a really good spot right now sports-wise. They just had the Lakers win the NBA championship. They've got the Dodgers in the World Series. The Rams are one of the, you know, the better teams in the NFL. Is Vegas in a rough spot right now, maybe? Are they a little lopsided on some of these, you know, upper tier futures bets or World Series bets and things like that because of their proximity to Las Vegas?
Yeah, so I noticed this because when I'm talking to bookmakers, you know, the guys at William Hill and BetMGM had a lot more lopsided liability. You know, the guys at William Hill said that it was a disaster. The Dodgers getting to the World Series, actually getting the World Series, would cost them more than them winning. And, aside from the Rockies, because BetMGM had gone into Colorado, the Dodgers were their number one liability. So, you know, it's interesting because as these sports books go into more and more places, they are, you know, less susceptible. But when you think about William Hill having 110 sports books in Nevada and it being a stone's throw from LA or an easy trip, yeah, it absolutely does matter. There were points last year when DraftKings and FanDuel were getting most of their business from New Jersey and Pennsylvania, where like every Eagles game, if the Eagles covered and won, was a disaster. So, you know, I think it's going to get spread out as obviously these sports books move across the country. But I do think that, you know, certainly these guys in Nevada are suffering from the two LA teams. Yeah. And by the way, it would have been even more disastrous, the guys that stayed open during free agency, if the Clippers had won.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's no doubt. You know,
Darren, there's this trend now. I don't know if you call it a trend, but it seems like more and more there are at least some notable players who are negotiating their own contracts. And the NFLPA reduced the commission that agents could take from players a few years ago. And I always wondered, okay, just how marginalized are agents going to become in the lives of athletes? And then I look on your Twitter and I see this story about Tom Brady partnering with the sports agency IMG to grow his wellness brand TB12. And is this where sports agents have started to move in and realizing, like, okay, we might not get as much on negotiating the actual contracts, but when it comes to just building the entire brand of an athlete, we can make these guys way more money than they ever did 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, certainly the difference is that the guys have thought about their brands and have built their brands without agencies. And so, you know, it's pretty much the only thing that they can do. It's going to be interesting with Tom because, you know, he has two prongs. He has the TB12 gyms, which, you know, the gym business is completely destroyed now. And then he has, you know, the supplements, and people are making that for him. And, you know, who knows? I did taste his nuts, which were pretty good.
I bet they were. I bet they were the perfect pH and the perfect like salt content and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They weren't. They weren't deflated. They were good. So
yeah,
yeah. You and every Patriots fan, Taryn Revelle joining us for his his weekly visit.
By the way, you guys have no rights to cut that up and take that out of context. And here comes Taryn Revelle. I did taste his nuts.
Well, no, I also did see aside from Tom Brady's nuts. I did notice your other tweet about the fitness industry and how much it has been affected. Peloton is like sextupled its value in the last 6 months, where Anytime Fitness or some of these other fitness brands have fallen
Planet
quite
fitness
a bit.
Is worth six, yeah. Planet Fitness is worth $6 billion in February. And so was Peloton. And now Peloton's, you know, yeah, just destroyed
worth 36
that,
billion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's
they got my money. I'm psyched about it. I couldn't have been happy. I dragged my feet forever on that Peloton. Now I've ridden every day straight for 60 days. I love that thing.
Get out of here.
Yep. Well, let me tell you, I don't want to lie if it's 60 days straight. It's almost right. 60 days straight. It's been 2 months. Yeah.
Well, they know. They know, but still.
Yeah, that's true. I know. I'm trying to get my little medallions.
I shouldn't laugh. I don't think I worked out in 100 days, so.
We're both on streaks.
Yeah, there you go.
Do I get a medallion for that? 30th straight day in the pantry for more than 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Yes, it comes in the form of plaque on your arteries.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say a chocolate medallion, like a gigantic piece of chocolate, like an Easter bunny. Darren Revelle joining us for his weekly visit here from the Action Network. All right, so Darren, what is the fade Revelle this week?
We're still developing, but okay. I believe it's going to be the Rams. I think I'm betting against the Rams.
Okay.
And if the Rams cover, I believe I have to carry a or I have to pull a Dodge Ram for as many total yards as the Bears had in the game. So it's going to be like around like 300, 400 yards.
Pull a truck?
Yes.
You haven't worked out in 100 days, you just said, and you're going to be pulling a truck?
I don't know. I hope it's down a hill.
Okay, there you go. Then it might run you over.
Maybe I'll get smushed. They tell me it's easier than it sounds.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It better be.
And the guy who sets up my fade Revelle's drove the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile for 2 years.
Maybe
he knows those types of, you know, road type things. I can't change a tire. I don't know anything about anything. I'm just a stunt man. That's all I am.
Rams favored by 6 in that game. That's the looks like that is the Monday night game. So we'll have to wait and see till Monday. If you cover, you were 6-7 last week. So you got any hot picks for a young enterprising young man like myself?
My only pick in right now is not NFL. It's I like Tennessee. Well, I got it at 21.5, so I got the hook beyond the 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
I just think I don't think Tennessee's as bad as they were last week, and I don't think Alabama got up for Georgia. So that's where I'm at right now. On NFL, I haven't really looked.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on at Darren Revelle on Twitter throughout the weekend. That's all.
Or follow me on the Action Network. We're building that following too, so okay. it goes right to your phone as soon as I pick. As soon as I pick something, it goes right to your phone.
Good deal. Push notifications are a beautiful thing. Download that free Action Network app. It is awesome. I use it every weekend myself. Darren, we always appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Revelle. Good stuff from Darren Revelle. Pulling an actual truck.
concerned about him that he hasn't exercised in 60 days or
that
so.
That surprises me a little bit, to be honest with you. You know, like
some of the effects of the pandemic that are starting to show up in terms of people's mental health and physical well-being and everything, like above and beyond just the COVID issues, are kind of startling.
Everybody
out there listening right now, do something nice for yourself today. Like, this is, you don't have to lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks or anything. Just do something nice for your body. Go for a stroll, or maybe just eat a couple vegetables if you feel so inclined.
I've been at both ends of the spectrum during the pandemic, Seth. As you know, 40 straight days of takeout early in the pandemic, and now
that's
down
right.
40 pounds. Yeah.
One of the tips, I always forget to say this, like for people trying to start out an exercise regimen, that helped me a lot like a couple years ago when I finally got fit again, is just focus more on the immediate effects of exercise, like feeling better because you worked out that day, like that and that alone. And don't worry about how much weight you lost or anything like that. Focus on like the very immediate effects of exercise, and it's a lot easier to sustain it
That's good advice. Seth, we are about out of time. Tomorrow is a Football Friday. I'm getting excited. I'm getting pumped up. I can't wait for Football Friday.
Giddy, we'll have our keys to victory for Green Bay as that weirdo Aaron Rodgers comes to town.
Yeah.
As well as all the pretender Jordan Love.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be good. So Football Friday tomorrow, brought to you by Carbach Hopadillo IPA. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a nice stroll in the park to you.
Thank you. Good advice. All right. He's Seth Payne. I'm Sean Pendergast. Thank you to Ben Gary for producing In the Loop. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. You got them till 2 o'clock today. Clint Sterner in the show. After that, Clint Sterner in the show, they have Eric Murray coming on their show right out of the chute, Texan safety. So make a note of that. We look forward to talking to all of you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Until then, have a great day, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.